Next Step 401, February 11th, 2016. Pope Francis and Patriarch Kirill meet in Havana. Wow, look at that. How about the Entourage and jumping over a fire? I'll make no excuses for that. We're going to be doing that and a lot more. This is Father Voskin. I am a priest of the Armenian Church, and I invite you to connect the dots with me as we take the next step.
Hi, this is Susie from epostle.net, welcoming you, our worldwide community, to a new episode of The Next Step with Father Voskin. The next step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. And most importantly, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Well, how do you do? I hope you're doing well. It is a warm one over here. Actually, can you believe it's a scorcher? I'm broadcasting from Epostle East Pasadena Studio. Here in beautiful Southern California, it is a beautiful day, blue skies, and it is warm. And what's really phenomenal about it is we are right in the middle of winter. Yes, we just celebrated the midwinter, February 2nd. And for those of you counting, that is also 40 days after Christmas. If you celebrate Christmas on December 25th, you add a 40 to it and you're right at February 2nd. Now, if you happen to celebrate on the correct date of January 6th, your midwinter or your Groundhog's Day or your Candlemas happens to be on February 14th, which is exactly January 6th. Plus 40. So it works out really nice. So that is called the Midwinter Feast Candlemas. And it also corresponds to a beautiful story that comes to us from the Gospel of Luke. Yeah, you're asking me, well, so what's the big deal about 40 days after Christmas? Well, Gospel of Luke, you find a story in the second chapter. It says, on the 40th day, when the rite of purification, after Mary had delivered Jesus, there is the rite of purification, takes temple to dedicate him to the Lord. And there in the temple, they run across an old man named Simeon. Now, Simeon was a very devout, religious sort of being. And it had been promised that he wouldn't see death until he saw the Savior of the world. And so Simeon takes Jesus into his hands and he praises God, saying, God, let your servant, namely him, pass away in peace, for the promise has been fulfilled. I have seen with my own eyes the living Savior. And this tradition of 40 days after Jesus' birth is now transferred into what the West calls Candlemas, what we call Diarantarach. And Diarantarach is really a beautiful, beautiful feast. It happens on February 14th, which in the West, by the way, is the celebration of a very special saint, namely Saint Valentine. And why not? We should be celebrating Saint Valentine as well. I believe Valentine was a 3rd or 4th century saint, and so therefore it all goes into the mix. And we're going to talk about that too in a few minutes. Actually, it kind of fits right in because we're going to be talking about what's going on right as we speak right now. We have Pope Francis and the Patriarch of the Russian Orthodox Church meeting each other. So what does that mean? Well, it has to do with some of these saints too. Okay? Well, anyway, so Saint Valentine is revered as the saint of love. And of course, you have all these traditions where you've got these candy and card companies and teddy bear companies making tons of money, millions and millions of dollars, thanks to this saint and the opportunity to celebrate the saint's life, namely St. Valentine's Day. Now, in the Armenian tradition, we also have, I think, this is purely Armadoc's conjecture at this point. And those of you who have been listening know what I'm talking about, right? I think we have a saint too. He should be canonized. He should be the saint of love, of lovers. And that is Saint, well, I'm saying saint, excuse me. He's not officially a saint, nor is he on any roster to become a saint. But I guarantee it, if not in our lifetime, in the lifetime of our children or grandchildren, at one point he will be canonized, and that is Sayat Nova. Sayat Nova is somebody who sang of love, and his entire life was one dedicated to love, so much so that he spent his last 20 years in a monastery as a priest, as Father Stepanos. And anyway, beautiful story. That's a whole different issue. One day we'll share that. If you do your research and you find a next step, it's back in the archives. We'll dig it up. If I can dig it up, I'll put it on today's show notes. But anyway, Sayat Nova would be, for me, the equivalent of a Saint Valentine. But we don't celebrate Saint Valentine as much as we celebrate Diaron Taraj. And Diaron Taraj is really along those same lines. It's about new life. It's 40 days after Christmas. It happens to ring with the midwinter. And midwinter, as you know, the whole tradition of Puxatawny Phil, whether he sees his shadow or doesn't see his shadow, it signals the birth, the start of the season of the sun, namely, is spring coming. And with spring, you have new light. So this is kind of a pre-celebration to the springtime. And so we celebrate Diaron Taraj. We have these cool traditions of bonfires, and newlywed couples would jump over these bonfires. I believe it's a fertility rite. And, you know, there was a time, I was just thinking about this a couple days ago, when I would be much more defensive about certain things like this. I don't know, have you been watching the videos, the ones I've been posting on the Western Diet? Oh, we are having so much fun with those. The ones, the AC 101, the Armenian Church 101 classes, right? We've done baptism. I remember last week I told you I wasn't sure which one was coming out, because we had recorded these about 4 or 5 months ago, and I had actually forgotten that we had done a fourth one. So that was the Lord's Prayer. And here's the interesting fact, okay? They've gone viral. They're on Facebook and just viral to the tune of hundreds of thousands of hits. And I was just kind of like really shocked by these numbers. In fact, my wife Susan told me the other day that one of her friends who is Jewish had written to her and said, this is fantastic. It was the episode about candle lighting, okay? So she was really intrigued by this. And anyway, they've gone viral by, well, our standards, okay? I know they're not in the millions, but quite, I mean, it's a decent hit, right? A couple hundred thousand, you know, it's okay. It's pretty decent. But I was just talking with one of the guys at the diocese, Vahe. We were talking about, like, the differences. He's seen the numbers on the four of them. The one that didn't do so well was the one about the Lord's Prayer, because the other ones were about, why do we baptize infants? Why do we light candles? Making the sign of the cross. He said, these three are the ones that everyone is always attacking. Nobody's attacking us for saying the Lord's Prayer, but, you know, they're always attacking, like, why are you lighting candles? Isn't that kind of heathenistic? You know, are you fire worshipers? Things like this, you know? And I guess there was a time where I would take offense, and I would get on the defensive. I would just like lay into them, you know, like, what are you talking about, you know, and everything. But I'm realizing that, whoa, you know, I mean, somebody looking at me and lighting a candle and telling me that I'm a fire worshiper, all I could say is, that's cute. Yeah, that's nice. You want to really believe that? Or when they come and they tell you, well, the child doesn't understand, so why are you baptizing? I think it was a couple of years ago, and somebody said that to me. And it was at that point that I just looked at her and I just said, yeah, that's cute. That's cute that you're saying that. I mean, what? You know, you're 30 and you understand life? Tell me, who understands life? Who's got it? Who's got it all together? So anyway, there was a time when I would kind of make up excuses for jumping over fires. But there is no excuse. That's what we do. And it's exciting. It's part of the rituals of life. And life is filled with rituals. I mean, everything that we do. Did you watch the Super Bowl game the other day? Wow. I mean, I had tears coming down my eyes when Lady Gaga sang the national anthem and they panned away to the troops in Afghanistan. I mean, that's basically a ritual, right? The ritual of singing the national anthem. The flag is not America, but it's a symbol of America, right? There's a symbol right in front of you, right? And we use these every single day. And you don't have gold in your pockets. You have some paper, which is symbolic of the gold reserves. Well, it used to be, okay. Anyway, the national reserves, the treasury. Anyway, you get the idea. We use different kinds of symbols without making any excuses. This is the way it is. And so, too, within Armodoxy, there's a reasonable number of symbols that we use to express ourselves, our feelings, our emotions. And there are a lot of emotions involved in religiosity, in expressing your faith, in expressing your belief. And we're having fun with it. If you're watching the AC101, let me see if I can, we'll put a link on today's show notes. Do check them out. I'm very proud of this series. It's really something I've always wanted to do, and we're having a lot of fun doing it. And I think that shows, right? It shows in what we're doing. Okay, so we are at the midwinter, and the midwinter feast comes in all kinds of celebratory manners, whether it's Groundhog's Day, it's Candlemas, or Diarantarach, jumping over flames, whatever it may be. It happens also to be during the middle of Lent that the midwinter hits. Now, this is kind of unusual that Diarantarach is during Lent. Actually, it's not too unusual, but it does happen from time to time, and it does happen this year, where Diarantarach, it falls right on a Sunday. So the Divine Liturgy, though it is a closed Divine Liturgy during Lent, this time you get to open it all the way through till Devarmia, and actually there is opportunity for communion too. It's kind of one of these real weird laws that goes in with the closed curtain laws and the exceptions to those laws. So this Sunday, if you happen to be in an Armenian church, you'll notice that, well, if they follow the rules either way, it's okay to keep it closed, it's okay to open it. There's a provision for opening it, and you may get into a church and see it. You could say, I was in an Armenian church during Lent, and the curtain was open. But all of that is said because I do want to talk a little bit about the Lenten season, the Lenten practice, and all the opportunities that we have coming up in our second period, in our second portion of the show. Right now, let's see. I did get a letter from Vic in New York, who shared with me, he was intrigued by the Vartanants comments I made last week. And he writes, let's see, blah, 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 okay, a lamp unto my feet. And now this is, give me a second, let me, for some reason I'm not, okay, here it is, okay. So this was, Lamp Unto My Feet is an American religious program that was produced by CBS Television, okay? And let me read it. It says, in this episode, the program focuses on the Battle of Avarayr, 451 AD. Lamp Unto My Feet was a religious television program that was produced by CBS and broadcast Sunday mornings from 1948 to 1979. Now, I don't know when this particular episode aired. It doesn't say that. But he did send me the link to it. And it's pretty wild. I mean, it must be probably from the early days of television. 1948, it says, the early days that it was produced. I would believe it's probably from that time period. I did not watch the entire thing. It's about a half an hour. I'll play you a couple minutes from the inside of it right now. And you get an idea. Actually, I won't go too far. I'll definitely put a link on today's show notes so you could check it out. But what's interesting is during the middle of the century, in the 1940s, 1950s, that the American public was being exposed vis-a-vis the Columbia Broadcasting System was celebrating Vatanants. And this is really what, along the lines of what I said, and I thank you, Vic, for catching that. You know, he makes a comment that I said that it goes beyond Armenians, and definitely this is really a gem to find this. I guess it was, let me see, the Eastern Diocese has put it on their YouTube channel, so that's where the link will take you to. So somebody has discovered this and really is a gem. It is a gem because more than, I mean, it's kind of cheesy, the costumes and everything, but more than that, it signals that the worth of this story. It signals that, you know, it was beyond Armenians that were recognizing the importance of Avaray, of the Battle of Vatanants. Anyway, let me play a couple seconds of it, a couple of moments of the recording from it. You get an idea.
The CBS Television Network presents Lamp Unto My Feet. Here to introduce today's program is Dr. George Crothers.
Today we bring you for the second time a special program commemorating one of the early struggles of the Christian era for freedom of conscience and worship. The Golden Book, referred to in the title of our presentation, was written 1,500 years ago. It was written in a language for which the alphabet had been devised only a few decades earlier. Although little known except to Armenians, it's a religious and literary classic. It's a history of a great sacrifice by the Armenian people in defense of Christianity. Today, 15 centuries later, the anniversary of that struggle is still commemorated wherever the Armenian Church exists in the world, including the United States. The climactic battle of that struggle was fought in the year 451 at Avarej in Asia Minor. 60,000 Armenian Christians fought 300,000 Persians. In today's program, the narrator represents the ancient Armenian author Elisha, who recorded the history of that war, and our text is drawn largely from his own words.
Pretty cool, huh? Anyway, like I said, the Eastern Diocese has published has linked the YouTube presentation of this Lamp Unto My Feet, CBS. Well, thank you, Vic, for sharing that. And I don't know what part of New York you're in, but my dear friend and one-time roommate, Father Mardiros, is out that way. If you happen to run into him, please give him my best. Right now, I'm going to take a song of the daybreak, and I'm going to share with you an old Armenian song, one which was my dad's favorite. This past week, we also marked the 25th year of my dad's passing. Can't believe that a quarter of a century. Yeah, I know, it's one of those rounded figures. Quarter of a century has passed. We did some cool stuff with the family that evoked his memory in all of us, talked about him, shared a lot of good stuff and a lot of his goodness with the community, and just feeling really, really good, feeling very proud to be his son, as do all of his children, my brother and sisters. So with that being said, one of his favorite songs, he was a musician on top of being a pharmacist, on top of being a world almanac, not an encyclopedia, he was an almanac, really. Think about that for a minute, seriously. And he would do that. He would read these things in his hobby. You know, like, you remember that game Trivial Pursuit? I don't know if it's still being produced. Trivial Pursuit. Like, he would take the Trivial Pursuit game. We got it for the family. He would read all the questions and all the answers and have it memorized. I'd be wild. Anyway, that's beside the point. I'm going to share with you a song that was one of his favorites. He was a musician in many, many different forms. He played the violin, self-taught. By age 17, he was offered a position, a chair with the LA Philharmonic. This is when, and we found out at his funeral that he had learned the violin only at age 14. So within 3 years, he had already mastered it. And he would play for us. Actually, you know what? That day that was the 25th anniversary, I was dazing in front of my computer. You know, you get into your daydreams. And I punched in his name into a Google search. And his biography, the one that we did during the funeral, we prepared during the funeral, it popped up along with some pictures. So I had a chance to read it. And I will definitely put a link on today's show notes so you could know a little bit about the guy who was really responsible for all this. And I'll tell you how he was responsible. We were just talking about this story. We had gone as a family to a favorite deli, Cantor's Deli in Los Angeles in the Fairfax District. And while we were eating that day, and there was six of us at the table, and I guess he was a homeless man or somebody that I guess appeared to be not doing too well, showed up at the front at the deli section and asked for something. I don't know if it was a cup of soup, if it was a piece of bread or what it was, but basically management turned him away. Management turned him away. And my dad gave us the order. It was like so cool. We were sitting there. He says, everybody get up. And we just stood up and we walked out. And he went up to the owner or the manager and he said, how dare you guys not give this man something to eat with all the customers, with everybody, with all the money that you guys are making. But more important, how dare you forget where you came from? Because it was the Fairfax District and Cantor's in particular, a Jewish delicatessen. He says, do you not remember the Holocaust that you went through, the homelessness that you faced, being the refugee status, and you refusing these people? And he says, you've lost your customers. And I have to tell you, we were. I mean, my dad would worked in that area. We were customers of that establishment until that day. And he got us all to walk out. And I think it was a way of a quick protest, a protest that has been in our heart to protest against some of the injustices in the world. If you kind of connect the dots, you'll understand. Connect the dots of the past 8 years that I've been sharing with you. You kind of figure out where it came from. Anyway, one of his favorite songs, Dele Yaman, I want to play it for you right now, in his memory.
Açko
Dele Yaman off of the Yerish Manukyan album. There's a lot of renditions of Dele Yaman, one of the most popular songs you'll find. Do a Google search, you'll find it in all different formats. I picked this one out. Not only does it have the classical duduk, also has some kanun renditions, beautiful voice in there. Hope you enjoyed it. In loving memory of a loving man. Are recording right now, some major history is unfolding, and I'm talking about an event that's taking place not in a country but in a neutral area, namely the Havana Airport, Havana, Cuba, of all places. This place has been singled out. They've thought about different places for the past 20 years. They've been talking about this meeting, and this is the meeting right now between Pope Francis, His Holiness, the Pope of Rome, and of course, His Holiness, the Patriarch of the Russian Orthodox Church, Kirill. And these two His Holinesses, are meeting each other for the first time since 1054, almost 1,000 years. For it's been over almost 1,000 years that the church has been split into East and West, namely probably because of papal authority, like is the Pope the head of the Christian church? What about the other authorities, the other apostolic chairs. What rights do they have? Now, of course, this doesn't impact the Armenian Orthodox Church, because back in 451, when the meeting at Chalcedon took place, it was that meeting that, if you listened a few minutes ago, you would have caught it. 451, we were engaged in the Battle of Vardanants. And it's a good thing that we were there and not at Chalcedon, because we saw that the whole Christian church kind of took off beyond mysticism, beyond the mystique of where we should have been. And so all of a sudden you had your 4th Ecumenical Council, 5th Ecumenical Council, 6th Ecumenical, and 7th by the year 1054, all without the presence of the Armenian Orthodox Church, the Armenian clergy. The Armenian Church does accept the first 3 ecumenical councils. After that, it's not ecumenical, right? If the Armenians aren't there and there's a small little group that is not there, it's no longer ecumenical. But we see that the decisions that were made at Chalcedon were later reversed. And in all reality, we are very similar, close, and brothers and sisters in Christ. So what's all the hoopla about? Well, it turns out that there's issues of papal authority. Who's the top man? Who's in charge? Who gets to be the boss? And there are also issues of real estate. Now, don't laugh at that, but there are issues of real estate, because if you are one church, it means somebody needs to give that real estate to the other church. And who's going to give that real estate? Who's going to give up? Who's going to give up their portion of it? Well, it'll work in an ideal, in a utopia, right? It'll work actually in Christianity if you follow the tenets of Christ, who says that all that material wealth doesn't really mean anything. Set yourself in God's kingdom and all of that will follow. And anyway, I digress. Right now, the 2 patriarchs of East and West, namely Pope Francis and Patriarch Kirill, are meeting in Havana. And accordingly, they're going to be signing a declaration, an official announcement. Let me see what it says over here. The Pope will meet with the Russian Patriarch for several hours in a neutral location, Havana's airport. The 2 will end the meeting by signing a joint declaration, according to the official announcement. The Russian church contains the majority of the world's 260 million Orthodox Christians. And of course, the Vatican or the Pope is in charge of the Roman Catholic, which claims over a billion. So you're talking some rather large numbers, and it's beautiful that these 2 get together. And it'll be interesting to see what unfolds. It'll be interesting to see what this joint declaration is that they do sign. But in all things, we need to keep focused and keep our prayers for the unity. But that unity is not so much about those real estate issues or who's in charge, but really look on and see what the unity is about in terms of spirit, in terms of healing this world that needs the presence of Christ. When we talk about the authority, papal authority, it comes down to that statement that that we find in the book of Matthew, where Jesus is asking his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And everybody gives out their answer. And then he turns to them and says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And it is Peter. He says, "You are the Son of the living God. You are the living Christ." And it's on that that Jesus says, "And I shall call you Peter. And on this them, on this rock, I will build my church." Now, the contention, of course, with the Roman Catholic is that he identified Peter, and Peter was the rock. And for the rest of Orthodoxy, including the Armenian Church, we say the rock is not the person, but that proclamation that Christ is the living Son of God. And so the rock is the foundation of the church. The foundation is our acceptance and recognition and proclamation of Christ as the living God. So this is basically the point of contention. But, you know, there's so much politics, there's so much real estate, money issues behind it, that it's very difficult to believe that, you're really going to find a unity within the Christian church. Everybody wants to hang on to what they've got. So instead of trying to reach for pie in the sky, how about if we just try to pray that the will of God, that the work of God gets done in this world, to reach out to the poor, to reach out to the maimed, to reach out to those in need wherever they may be. And in that sense, I do pray with the rest of the Christian church for the unity, for the desire of Christ in his prayer to the Father. Let them be one as you and I are one.
There's a haze on the skyline, and to wish me on my way. And there's a note on the telephone, some roses.
Well, I want to take a few minutes just to kind of set us off in the Lenten season. I know I didn't get a chance because I ranted too much last week about the place of making the church contemporary, that we kind of missed the obvious, which is that we are in the Lenten season. It is a fantastic, fantastic season that is filled with opportunities for you to grow spiritually and emotionally. Let me tell you that we have a beautiful book that's available now. Archbishop Schnork Kalustian, who used to be the primate here in the Western Diocese back in the early 1950s, and later went on to become the Patriarch of Constantinople, or Istanbul, he authored a book called The Golden Sundays of Lent, or The Golden Chain of the Sundays of Lent, something like that. And it has just been translated into English and produced at the Western Diocese. And do check that out if you get a chance to go on their website and check out that book. And I'd be happy to send you a copy why not? Thank you, Susie. Yes, if you do a donation to InIssues, that'll cover the cost of sending that, and we'll make a donation back to the diocese in return for that. I'd be happy to send you a copy myself. So what it is the Sundays of Lent, if you follow them from Pun Pare Genton, the Day of Good Living, all the way through to Palm Sundays, really are intertwined with a message of hope, a message of strength, and a message of love. I want to steer you to our Lenten Journey series, and there are three Lenten journeys that are up there, one on healing, one on the Divine Liturgy, and one about just Lent in general. Do check them out. They'll be on today's show notes. And it's really more of an opportunity. You know, a lot of times people look at Lent as a time to give up stuff. We give up meat. We give up different foods and different dietary restraints on us. Rather than looking at it in that respect, look at Lent as a time to do, not to stay back, but to do, to offer more love, to really maximize your potential, to do the things you otherwise have been reluctant to do or have been dormant in your life. For instance, visiting the elderly, visiting the sick, going, actually pushing yourself to go to a prison to do a visitation. Wow, that's kind of wild, right? How about taking food to people in need? Just all kinds of things that we are commanded to do but otherwise don't do. If you look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, it happens to be the reading for the Lenten, the first Lenten Sunday. And it gives you three things that really need to be accented during Lent. One of them is fasting, and those are the restrictions. Our rule is no animal products, basically a vegan diet, okay? No animal products. Back when we were kids, we didn't know what the word vegan was. It was called vegetarian, but anyway, it's more akin to a vegan diet. Nothing that comes from animals. And yes, fish are animals. And yes, chicken are animals, last time I checked. And yes, no, I don't know what a bee is. People always ask, well, can we have honey? You know what? If you want to have honey, have it. If you want to have honey, have it. You probably don't need honey, but now that you're restricted from animal products, now you're thinking, what's the bee? Is the bee an animal? We can't have honey. That's not the point of it. Remember what Christ said. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, but what comes out of your mouth. And so think about that for a moment. What comes out of me? The spirit. What comes out of me? The thoughts. The evil that I do. These are things that keep me from seeing the grandeur and the beauty of God. And this is why in the Armenian church, we cover our, we cover the altar area with a curtain. Why? Because during Lent, we are reminded that because of sin, because of the evil that we do, we are prevented from seeing the beauty that's on the other side. We're prevented from participating with all that God has in store for us. And it's not God that says, you're a chosen, you're not a chosen. It's we who choose to be alienated, to be separated because of the things that we do. So think about that for a moment. This is the real, real challenge that is ever before us. To be united, to be in harmony with all that God intends us to be in harmony with, namely Him, with love, with others, with nature, with the universe, right? That's that harmony that we're seeking. That's what Lent is all about. Do check out the Lenten season vis-a-vis. It's twice I've used that expression in today's podcast, if anybody's counting. The podcast, the Lenten Journey podcast, there will be a link on today's show notes. You can check that out. And it's part of our programming. And I'm very, very excited that people are checking in with that. We just got want to welcome aboard Ella, who is taking care of our Facebook page and is posting all kinds of stuff on the St. Peter Facebook page. Yeah, that's the little church that seems to manage all of this ministry in his shoes, apostle, and everything else. So let me take a break right now. Let Susie talk to you about apostle and the ministry. I'll be back in a few minutes to conclude parting shots. Okay.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. Appreciate it. And I appreciate all of you for your love, for your support, for your words of encouragement, and of course, your donations. They go a long way to continue this ministry. We are now in the eighth year of broadcasting, and I hope that you find value in all of this. We are, whether it's a Lenten season, whether it's the Christmas season, Easter season, so many opportunities for us to really reach out and do the work that God calls us to do. And Epostle, these broadcasts continue to inspire people, continue to bring people on board to the work that we're doing. So I really, really appreciate it. I'm always thankful to God for this opportunity that we have to spend a few minutes together every week and to do the work that is in front of us vis-a-vis. Three times, okay? The In His Shoes Mission, Epostle, and of course, St. Peter Armenian Church. I'm going to wrap it up for today. I appreciate you joining us. Hope you enjoyed today's show, which kind of like had a thread going through it, right? We were talking about Vartanants and the lamp unto my feet, the different symbols, about a little bit about my dad. We talked about the popes and well, the Pope and Patriarch meeting with one another, and Dyaran Taraj put it all together. What do you got? You've got the next step, and I'll look forward to being with you then, to take the next step. On behalf of Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin shouting out to my new daughter-in-law, Lauren. Happy birthday! And inviting you, our listeners, to join us again next week as we take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.